Okay, all right, well, thank you. Yes, I'd appreciate it. Stand up about 3 minutes, and that way I can wrap it up so we can get back on time. So what I'm doing, I've been working, I'm from Ohio State, and working on my tenure, PhD all at the same time, which was a big mistake, I can guarantee you that. So I've kind of separated them out. I'm finishing up my tenure, and then I got to get the PhD done. So as part of my tenure, we've got to develop this curriculum, which has been very good. It's almost ready to go, and I'm just going to show you what we have in this curriculum. We've been doing this around the country. So outline very quickly, we're going to go over some just parts of what these eight presentations, some key points. We've got this notebook. We put in these fact sheets, some papers and journal articles. We have this Midwest cover crops field guide. So this is all part of it. This whole thing cost about $35. That's what I charge. It's about $5 for this book. It's about $10 for the notebook. $10 for a meal. We start at about 8 o'clock, and we finish at about 4. So it's a one-day program. So it takes quite a while. We do some soil demos, some videos, and we'll talk just real briefly about the evaluations. So here's the different eight presentations. We talk about soil nutrient recycling, soil structure, and soil compaction. I'm going to give you just very brief, tell you some things that we're doing at the next slide. We do some cover crop economics, 60 slides. I'm actually doing a webinar on Friday. Michigan State University, they're charging $10. I'm sorry about that. I had nothing to do with it, but we will be talking about that for about 40 minutes or so. It'll be an hour, but I have 40 minutes to do that on Friday. We're talking about keeping soluble nutrients out of surface water. Then we talk about, usually in the afternoon, how do you get started with cover crops, and then we talk about the homegrown nitrogen, the legumes and clovers, the brassicas and the grasses, and then the very end, if we have time, I've been kind of taking this out because there's so much information, well, actually how we can use cover crops to help us adapt to extreme weather events. So here's just a little bit on that soil ecology. We really emphasize these interactions between plants and microbes. One of the things that I talk about is there's 1,000 to 2,000 times more microbes associated with live plants, and they're just soluble bags of fertilizer. Well, if you want to get a farmer excited, just tell him that you have 1,000, 2,000 bags of soluble fertilizer out there, and he's going to listen. We'll discuss the bacteria, the fungus, and the protozoa, and the nematodes, and how all these nutrient interactions. So here's a couple of the slides. This is an acronym that I've kind of come up with, this eco-farming concept. We're really trying to promote no-till, and the goal is not to disturb that soil so that you keep those microbes healthy. We talk about continuous living cover, and then we also talk about some of the other best management practices, the IPM, integrated pest management, water table management, crop rotation, all those things go under there we don't spend a lot of time on. What we're finding out is that this is economical for the farmer. They're using less inputs. It's ecologically viable because we're keeping that soil covered, and we're losing a lot less nutrients, so that makes it environmentally sound. And we're very closely mimicking these natural cycles. So here's about four slides. So in conventional tillage, we plant 4 months out of the year. We're only putting a third less energy into that soil. Why is that tractor purple? Basically because I don't want to tick off anybody that has a green one or a red one. Okay, so we colored it purple. Actually, that's what the lady did. I said I can work with it. You can see her at the bottom. Cheryl helped us do these. I thought she's a great illustrator. And then with the eco-farming, we're putting energy in 100% of the time because we have live plants. You have to think of the soil as a living organism. Here, soil microbes harvest and recycle nutrients. And again, these are very basic illustrations, but I think it helps farmers to see it. They can put it into their terms. I think it goes right back to what this gentleman said, use something visual. Also do videos that are short. We have some that are long, so we kind of interact those. But small microbial population where you have conventional tillage, you see all that black smoke. That's a rusty combine. That's all the carbon going up in the atmosphere. Over here where we're doing eco-farming, we have a much larger microbial population, and we're recycling those nutrients. We're keeping them. Tillage burns up that soil organic matter. You can see the little whirlwinds. You can see all the nutrients are kind of all over the place. Here in the eco-farming, we're keeping those nutrients, carrying them forward, and so that we can tie them up. What is the nutrient fate in winter and spring? Well, because we don't have live plants out there, we lose a lot of them, either through the water, denitrification, either over the surface or through our tile. We're in a very heavily tiled area. With eco-farming, we're bringing those forward, and so we're getting much better efficiency on both our nitrogen and our phosphorus. So that's really a really quick wrap-up of the first one. Here's the second one, building soil organic matter, benefits of the roots. We're research on no-till and tillage to avoid soil compaction, and we talk about some of the benefits of the cover crops. Two slides. Here's something that I came up with sitting at my table. Building soil structure, macro aggregates, is like building a house. So here's all the components. And then I give them a picture, and I explain this. So our foundation is our mineral portion. It's our sand, silt, and clay. And if you look at this room, why do we have so much pore space? We don't really have the walls here, but the wood, that carbon gives it rigidity. And what really makes that carbon is like spaghetti. But when you add nitrogen and sulfur, same thing that happens when you add sulfur to iron. You stiffen it. You give it those double, triple bonds. And so the lag screw is kind of how we attach. That phosphorus helps us attach the foundation, the concrete out there, or the bricks to that organic matter. You've got your nails as your humus. You got your glomulates kind of wrapping that macro aggregate all together. And then you have your roof, which is all your subsurface residue. Now, real quickly, what happens if I do tillage every 1 or 2 years and I take off that roof and destroy all that residue? Well, what's going to happen to my house is too much water comes in, it's going to rot out the wood, and everything's going to break up. It's not water that's causing the problem. It's too much oxygen in the soil that stimulates those microbes, and the same thing happens. That's how our soils are compacting. So we talk about these. Those are some things. Other presentations, we talk about cover crop economics. The cost of cover crops is about $25 to $30. I tell them that's equal to about most of your major tillage operations. The benefit you're getting is adding that carbon back into the soil. Cover crops cost add about anywhere from a tenth to 0.15% soil organic matter each year. That's worth about $67 to $100 per acre per year. If I add 1% organic matter to my soil, just the nutrients and nitrogen, phosphorus, potash, and the micronutrients is worth over $670. So that's something that we talk about there. Keeping soluble nutrients out of the surface water, that's the fourth one. We talk about some of these, some of our research. We're looking at soil organic matter and how it ties up phosphorus. We've lost 50% of our soil organic matter. So what's taking over in Lake Erie? It's the aluminum and the iron. There's a problem because iron goes from F3 to F2 under saturated soil conditions, and it releases soluble reactive phosphorus. By using cover crops, what we're finding is we're allowing that water to infiltrate, go through that soil matrix. It's being tied up by that organic matter, and it's just we're keeping that phosphorus in that soil profile. So that's another talk. And we think it's a lot of it's related to this soil compaction and the phosphorus stratification, because what we're seeing is guys are actually increasing their vertical tillage, and they're only going about 2 to 3 inches deep, and we're getting a hard pan under there. So now our bucket's only about 2 to 3 inches deep, rather than being 6 inches deep, and that's causing a lot of this phosphorus to leave. We also talked then about how we get started with the cover crops, the warm season, legumes, the characteristics. Then we actually get into management. So we'll talk about all these different homegrown nitrogens, these legumes and clovers, and how we're going to manage them. We do the same thing with the grasses, not going to spend a lot of time on that. We'll also talk about the brassicas, and then we'll talk about other things like the sunflower and the buckwheat. If we have time, we've been kind of adjusting this. Sometimes we don't have time because there's just so much to talk about. Then we also talk about the agriculture. Here's the different fact sheets. So you can look them up online. Several of these have been in a couple of the magazines that have come out. The first two were in about 2010, 2009. They actually featured these, using cover crops to convert to no-till, biology of soil compaction. I've given a webinar on that. We had 1,100 people from all over the United States. It's a very hot topic, and also the world. So we've got a lot of hits on that. sustainable crop rotations, using cover crops to improve water quality. They all kind of fit together. I've got two new ones on the role of soil bacteria and fungus, and I actually have three more that I'm working on some management. We've also got a couple papers there on eco-farming, promoting beneficial insects using cover crops, and a couple journal articles on soil demos. I am probably the only person that I know that can talk about a brick and a sponge for over a half hour. Okay, so we use that a lot. We show demonstrations. We get our people involved. I think that's what makes it really good. We do some videos and some webinars. We've had over 10,700 hits on my soil compaction video. We have plants feed the microbes. This is part of the unlocking the secrets of the soil. Goes back to what this gentleman was talking about. 2 to 3, 4 or 5 minutes, something like that. Most of them are less. Over 9,700 hits on that one. I set a new day, one-day record of 711 hits in one day. The next day, I think we had 740. Altogether with that series, over 120,000 hits with the 18 different videos, very short video segments. This webinar, I already talked about that. We had over 1,100 participants from 50 states plus Canada. Here's just some stats and evaluations, 225 presentations since April of 2011. I've given some parts of these talks in 23 states to over 15,000 people. We've had 10 full-day workshops. I have 7 planned this year, my last year, so going before and we're done. And then we've gained about 1.3 points in knowledge on a 5-point scale, and about 89% of the people say they plan to implement the information. So how's that? Doing pretty good? Get you up in time here. So there's my summary. Same things. Current estimates, about only 5 or 6% of farmers are actually doing it. All right.
2 minutes for questions. Any questions?
Hey, I'm setting a trend here. Real quick, yes. We're doing a lot of mixtures, and so we're really promoting the mixtures. And if we can get that, you know, it takes 10 tons of decomposed organic matter to equal 1%. And so we're getting anywhere from 5 to 6 tons, but 3/4 of that goes up into the atmosphere. We go through all those calculations, but yes, we're really promoting it. Manure doubles and triples the amount of biomass that you'll get. So. How long does it take?
How long does it take to get up to 1%?
Well, if you're adding at a 0.1%, it's going to take you 10 years. At 0.15, it's going to take you probably 6 to 7. I will tell you, we do some with sorghum sedan grass, tremendous biomass. If you just want carbon, you can add almost 0.5% in 1 year. And that is huge. That really does change your soil. But you always got to keep adding back because you're always using it up, replacing it. So we get into all those calculations and talk about that, but don't have time to talk about it right now. So thank you very much. Appreciate that.